A Bunch by David Jackson. So I sat down to write the epic poem. Why not? There's no reason. There's no reason in the universe. Yes, sit down, my friend, my good friend. You look as if you're going to make the atoms themselves change. Have a seat. There's no hurry. Make your visit. You came to me, my friend, while he was waiting for the sun to rise, while he was waiting for the sunset. Have a seat now. What's your hurry? Are you trying to go to the future? Well, I tell you, the future, so have a seat. And we shall not speak of the Greeks, for they are dead. And we shall not speak of the Impressionist painters, for they are dead. And no, I will not meet you upon this matter lightly. For it is hard to leave them all behind, but you see, this is a legal matter. The stars, there are the laws. You see, that say that time will go on, and the sun and the galaxy and the universe will burn out and collide and end up in a drive up all of nothing but atoms and the works of the Greeks and the Impressionist painters will be in that ball somewhere with a strand of my lover's hair. So that's it, isn't it? So I cannot write that epic poem, and I will drink instead of the wine and worship the moment and watch my lover wash her hair. In the morning, I shall walk in the field and gather flowers for her table. Tonight, yes, tonight, we shall look at the stars and wonder. Well, it's appraisal time, and wriggling, wriggling, wriggling out the pen, the eye and the lens. It's a bug. No, it's an asset. A resource. No, it's a bug. Wriggling, the pen. Oh, the pen. Sweating out the side. The heat, the heat, the heat of the light. The eye again. It's a bug. No, no, it needs a speech. Yes, that's it, a speech. Stop it, it's getting away. Don't let it get off the property. Damn, it's gone. Look, over there. It's a butterfly. And so I sit alone, yet never alone, for you are here with me. And these black and white scribbles, which we call words, join us somehow and make the frozen winter land the same somehow as the balmy beaches. And the fact of our locations, the very facts of our lives, are somehow joined in these intentions of greatness. And of course, we, not knowing even what that is, we try, and we try, fail. So here we are again, in the winterland, on the beach, with this inability to say just what we mean, and by the very nature of our confession and confusion, we try again. I suppose all the drab little cubicles in the whole world could fit into one space, between the eyes of the factory dog, wandering the parking lot and lazing away its time under the trailers, eating scraps tossed by the factory workers. Trapped confinements of factory floors and concrete painted yellow. Downsized. I hear voices outside my cubicle. They're talking work. They have no work talk for me, for I'm being downsized. I was big, I was busy, I was useful. Now I'm small. Now I'm being downsized. I have almost nothing to do. I hear people passing by my cubicle. I recognize their voices and say to myself, that's so-and-so. They're keeping them. They are all worthwhile. I hear them talking about work. I am jealous. Oh, I was so big. I carried the company's future on my broad shoulders. I walked with other giants and spoke of 12-hour days and reports to even bigger giants, now long gone. There's no telling how long it will take me to get back enough self-confidence to get another job. I may have had some wants and self-respect so long ago, I don't remember anymore. So let's go. Downsize my ass and get me the fuck out of here. Get yourself out of here, you fool. How did this come to this? A downsized fool in a downsized cubicle in a downsized world eating downsized shit.